commence reading at verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, and to exhort you, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but kept, left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a reeling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, and when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and honor, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Now God will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, it's well known that the little epistle of James speaks of good works and the evidence of saving faith. But in the epistle of Jude, we have evil works which give evidence of apostasy. Now, if it was necessary for Jude to write in his day regarding apostasy, it's certainly more than necessary in our day. We are living in the very last days. Now we feel as if we have our head in the sands and we're not really conscious of the world in which we live. But those who have children in school especially will know that we're living in a very evil day where we have modernism, rationalism, and we have all kinds of evil, and children and older ones as well are having their minds and their bodies corrupted. And I do believe it's a day in which we need to bring before the saints and remind our own hearts of the apostasy which is present in the world today, as Jude says in verse 4, for certain men have crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Master, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a very simple epistle, perhaps, to analyze, a very interesting epistle. Jude is well acquainted with the Old Testament. He brings before us the people in Egypt, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the angels, and he mentions 7 different individuals in the Old Testament. The first 2 verses we have what we might call a prologue or an introduction. And then we have the substance of the letter. And in the last 2 verses, 24 and verse 25, we have a benediction and a doxology. It might be divided this way in connection with the little word beloved that we have in verse 3. And the apostle, or Jude is writing to the saints to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. Now regarding the faith, we were thinking of it as what Paul speaks of, the good deposit. And the good deposit is the gospel, which was committed to his trust. Now, if someone might ask this evening, what is an apostate? An apostate is one who has received light and not life. He's received the written word, but never received the living word. The Lord himself said in John chapter 5 to the Jews, ye search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Now it is good, as our brother pointed out from 2 Peter chapter 1, that we should make our calling and election sure. And in order to keep from falling, we need to give heed to those words in 2 Peter chapter 1, as Peter says, if these things be in you and abound, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do these things, you will never fall. Now, Jude's epistle is an epistle of encouragement for the people of God. A true believer, a true child of God, I believe, can never become an apostate. A true child of God will never lose his salvation. But in order for us to help those who are in need of help, we ourselves need to be building up ourselves in our most holy faith, as the exhortation is given to us. So we have the introduction, we have the danger of apostasy brought before us, in verses 3 to 16, illustrated from the Old Testament by 3 corporate examples and 3 individual examples, which we will come to in a moment. the corporate examples, the children of Israel in Egypt, the angels that sinned, and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the three men that are mentioned, Cain, Balaam, and Korah. They all have a warning, and perhaps we will just have a little word in connection with these verses in the gospel. If there should be one unsaved, that he might be preserved from the awful judgment that is coming upon the world. Because the apostle Jude writes to us, and he speaks about how Israel was destroyed in Egypt because they believed not. And how the angels that abandoned their first estate, the high position that they had, are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And Sodom and Gomorrah are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. How solemn these words are, and how glad we should be, and how thankful we should be that we are being preserved by God. We shall never fall away in the sense of going into apostasy, but we are going to be kept and preserved and presented faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. And we have these glorious words: to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So we're exhorted to contend. And then we find the word beloved occurring again in verse 17. But beloved, remember. Not now remember the Old Testament, but remember the New Testament. Remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ spoke when they were here. How that there should be mockers in the last time, verse 18, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. And then we are shown the way of deliverance and the way of preservation by building up ourselves in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping ourselves in the love of God, and looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So first of all, the writer, Jude, I said apostle, but he's a servant. He's not the servant, he's a servant, one of many. He's a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. And he assures the believers that God loves them, that God has called them, and that God is preserving them for Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing to know that we're loved. That word sanctified is better translated, beloved. So those who are beloved by God, having been loved of God, and called, and preserved for Jesus Christ. Now, is there one here this evening, and you have received the written word? You have had the knowledge of the Bible from your youth, but you have never yet received divine life. John in his epistle has a special purpose to tell what faith in the Lord Jesus Christ brings. And there are three things in 1 John chapter 5 that I should mention, and I trust that you will lay hold of these words and just examine your own heart, as I will, to know if you do indeed have genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. John in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." So faith in Jesus Christ brings new life. You need to be born again. And having new life, you will have new desires. You will desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. And then in verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So faith in the Lord Jesus Christ brings victory over the world. It brings moral victory. And do you have that? Has your faith brought victory into your life? And then again, we find that John says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Faith in Jesus Christ brings certainty. Every true believer in the Lord Jesus has the Holy Spirit indwelling him. He is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So we trust that if there's one here tonight and you do not have this new life, you're well acquainted with the Word of God, but you've never received the Son of God. Tonight, if you receive him, you will receive new life. You will overcome the world who is against the Son of God. That initial faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will bring victory over the world that put him to death. And that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will bring certainty. It will bring the witness of the Holy Spirit into your life, as John says in verse 11, and this is the witness that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So in verse 1, we are kept for Jesus Christ. In verse 21, we are exhorted to keep ourselves in the love of God. And in verse 25, we are told that we are kept from falling. No wonder this has been called a doxology of divine preservation. In verse 2, the writer says, mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. So we need these things in order that we'll be able to contend. Mercy is an upward look to God. We are unworthy, and God's mercy has been given to us. And then in verse 1 again, we have peace that may be an inward look. We look into our own being, and we can enjoy peace with God in the midst of all the apostasy and all the darkness and all the evil that is around us. And then love. Well, it can mean love to God. It can mean love to our brethren. And it can mean love to the world in need, as we find in the latter part of the chapter, that we're exhorted to have compassion or mercy on those who are in doubt, and others save, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So there's mercy to us, and there's woe to them who have gone in the way of Cain, and there's glory to God in verse 25, who has saved us and preserved us. Now, Jude was going to write of the common salvation. Thank God for this common salvation. The grace of God which carries with it salvation for all men has appeared. God our Savior will of all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But then there was necessity upon him. He was constrained by the Holy Spirit, no doubt. Even though he was thinking of speaking of the common salvation, he was constrained to exhort the believers to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The apostle, or the servant of the Lord, Jude, in verse 20, speaks of it as the most holy faith. We need to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. We need to be sure that what we have in our hand is the inspired word of God. We need to be sound regarding the virgin birth of Christ, his sinless humanity, his vicarious sufferings, his victorious resurrection, and his visible return in glory. The very strong word that Jude writes in verse 3, he said we should contend earnestly for the faith. That word is the word to agonize. Paul says, I've fought a good fight. The word agonize, and we have to be in earnest as far as contending for the faith. That is by making known the wonderful truths of the gospel rather than condemning other religions and sects. By contending for the faith, we will be propagating what is the truth as it is revealed in the New Testament. It's the faith once for all delivered unto the saints. There's no further revelation, any further claim to revelation in these last days is in itself just a proof of apostasy. John is in his epistle, second epistle, verse 9, he says, everyone that transgresseth, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Mr. Darby said, this is what is called development. He does not abide in that which was from the beginning. So what we have in our hands is the completed word of God. God has spoken finally in his Son. And what we have is the faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. So we're warned about apostates. Verse 4, certain men crept in unawares, ungodly men. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Master and our Lord, Jesus Christ. So we find men who have given up the truth, examples of apostasy in verses 8, 5, 6, and 7. We will not take time to speak of those just now. But we find them described again like men in verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Now let's think of these three examples in the last few moments of the meeting. In verse 11, Cain, Balaam, and Korah. Cain ignored his need of blood. Cain is a man who you might say had his own natural religion. A man who was self-righteous. In Cain we see pride of intellect. And this is what we see in the world today in connection with these three men. We see pride of intellect in Cain. We see love of money in Balaam. We see contempt of authority in Korah. And isn't that evident in the world today? Pride of intellect, love of money, and contempt of authority. And Jude says, woe unto them. There's only one way to be saved, and that is through the merits of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cain brought his best offering to God, But God will not accept man's best. God will only accept the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abel was accepted by God on all the value of that lamb that he brought. And that lamb was a picture of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What about Balaam? He failed to recognize the power of the blood. He desired to curse the children of God, the children of Israel. And God said, he did not behold iniquity in Jacob. Thank God that not one of us is accepted in our own merits. Every one of us accepted in the merits of the precious blood of Christ. And Korah, he ignored the sanctity of the blood. Cain despised the Lord Jesus Christ as the way. Balaam despised the Lord Jesus as the truth. And Balaam, Korah despised the Lord as the way, Cain as the life. So woe unto them. We trust there's none here this evening, depending on their own merits, depending on their own religion. But, as we would exhort you in the last verses, verse 20, how are we to contend? By building up ourselves in our most holy faith, by praying in the Holy Spirit, by keeping ourselves in the love of God, by looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now these verses apply to true believers. We've got to be studious. We've got to be prayerful. We've got to be hopeful, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will bring us eternal life. But let's apply it to the unsaved person in the meeting this evening. Praying in the Holy Spirit. What is the prayer that God will hear as far as your salvation is concerned? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Never entertain the thought that God does not love you. I'm thankful for the lady who was saved, and we wondered just what it was that brought her to see her need and to lead her to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, I discovered for the first time that God loves me. My own father said, it was the love of God that woke his heart, saved through the great fact that God loved him. He often quoted that verse in Romans 5, but God commendeth his own peculiar love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his own love toward us when we were neither righteous nor good. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you. No matter what the clouds are this evening, no matter what the difficulties are, no matter what the trials are, God loves you. John says, God is love. Someone said, well, someone had that on a weather vane one time. Someone said, well, is God's love as changeable as the wind? No, God's love is the same, no matter what way the wind blows. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, pray that prayer tonight. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. God, have mercy upon me on the grounds of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the price at Calvary. He, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, looking for the mercy. My, you need mercy tonight. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will bring eternal life. What will be the result of your faith in Christ? You'll be able to sing, and you'll be able to say, with Jude here this evening, as he says unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, he will say to the only wise God, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. The time is gone. Let's praise God for this wonderful epistle of divine preservation. And if you trust him tonight, he is able to save you. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy.